Well, good morning. We're going to have our third talk now on Jonah chapter 3. Now, who's ever made toast at home? Most of us. One thing I've noticed in our house is sometimes people burn the toast. And what happens when the toast gets burnt? You got to scrape it off, yeah? What else might happen? You throw it. What was that?
It sets off the smoke alarm.
It sets off the smoke alarm. Who's ever been in the house when the smoke alarm goes off because of toast? Yeah. Now, when that alarm goes off, when you know people are making toast and the alarm goes off, do you panic when you hear the alarm? No. You still need to be careful because it might be a fire in your house and that can happen. But most of the time when we hear the smoke alarm go off around breakfast time in the kitchen, then we know it's someone burning the toast. And what do? You open the windows and you go up and you've got to blow at the smoke alarm, you know, all those types of things, right? Now, not all alarms are like that. I want you to imagine if you're up at Bondi Beach or somewhere and you're out swimming and you hear the shark alarm go off. Are you just going to go, oh, well, I'm not going to worry about that too much? What are you going to do there? You're going to get to the beach really quick, aren't you? That's what you do there. Now, there's another type of alarm, though. Imagine if you were stealing a car or trying to break into someone's house and you heard the police alarm, the police siren. That's a different type of alarm now, isn't it? That's the type of alarm you hear when you're doing something wrong. It's a different type of alarm, that one, isn't it, when you hear the police siren? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be hearing sort of like the police siren happening to people who are doing something wrong. And that's what we're going to see as we read Jonah chapter 3, as Jonah comes to the people of Nineveh and sounds the alarm for them. So let me read to you a little bit of Jonah. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So here we are, and we see that Jonah is starting again. God has taken him almost back to the beginning, hasn't he? And he's, you know, he said, I commanded you to go and speak to these people. Jonah ran away. God's taught Jonah a lesson, and now we're back at where we started. And Jonah is to go to Nineveh again and to start again and to do what God's asking him to do. And we're told here that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. And we're told that Nineveh was a very important city, and a visit required 3 days. So that is, it's a big enough city that if you really want to get around and see everything in Nineveh, you have to have 3 days. So it's sort of like if you're in Hobart. If you're in Hobart, you can see Hobart in a day, can't you? Now you can walk around. It's pretty small. You go down to the docks, maybe go to Muir's and get an ice cream at Muir's or something like that. But where Jonah's going now to Nineveh, it's like going to Sydney or to Melbourne. And it takes lots of days to actually get around to talk to everyone and to say what he's got to say. Now, let's see what Jonah's message was. Verse 4. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That is, Jonah's coming in and he's saying that God is going to judge, he's going to punish this city, and he's going to overturn the city. So this is Jonah's message. It's about God is going to judge these people. Now, I don't know what you think about God judging people. Some people, when they hear that God judges us, they say, that doesn't sound right. Who is God to judge me? Well, why should God judge me? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why it's okay for God to judge us. The first is God is our creator. God is the one who made us. And because he made us, it just means he has a position above us. And so he can check what we do. He can judge what we do, right? Because he made us, he determines how we should live, and so it is right for him to judge us. The second reason why it's okay for God to judge us is that we actually want justice. We want people who do what's wrong and who hurt other people to be punished for that. We don't want people who do crimes to get away with it. We want justice. And so this is part of who God is. He is the God of justice, and he gives people what they deserve. Okay? So it's right for God to judge. It's right for God to judge us. And what this means is we should have a bit of fear for God. Now, we call God Father, and that is right and proper. But it's also right that we should have that healthy respect of knowing that he's not our equal, that he is powerful. And so we need to have a healthy fear of God as well. He's our Father, and we are loved by him, but he's not our equal. And we need to have that healthy fear of God because he is our judge. Now, how do the Ninevites respond? Jonah comes in and he says, God is going to come and punish this place. Let's look at how they respond. The Ninevites believed God, so they believed what Jonah said. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. So, there's a few things here we need to see. So, what is fasting? Fasting is the opposite of eating. And so fasting is what you do by doing nothing, by not eating food. So what these people are doing here is they're saying everyone's got to stop eating. This message from God is really important. And now the other thing they do is they put on sackcloth. Now I've got my beautiful wife to model it for us. She's going to come out over here for us. So here is my wife wearing sackcloth. So this is what they did. Now, why would you wear sackcloth? So imagine if when Anna Petra and I were getting married, if on our wedding day, instead of turning up in a wedding dress, she turned up wearing this. What would she be saying about marrying me? Right? She would be saying, everything is not okay. Everything's not okay. This is not a time of joy for me. I'm having to marry this man. I don't really want to. And I'm showing this. This is my little protest here. I'm wearing this to show everything is not okay. Thank you very much. Round of applause for Anna Petra. Very good. Now, this is what the Ninevites do. They stop eating food because they say, we're in a serious situation. God is going to judge us. They're not rejoicing and saying, you know, let's have a feast. Let's feast. They're saying, no, instead of having a feast and rejoicing, we're going to stop eating and do something else. And they say, instead of wearing all of our nice clothes that we like to wear, we're going to put on really plain clothes because we're not about showing off what we're wearing anymore. We've got more serious things to do. So this is what it means when they fast and they wear sackcloth. It means that they're saying everything's not okay and we've got to sort this out. Now, this is a model for us. This is the same type of thing that we need to hear today. Jonah hasn't come to us, but the message of Jesus through the apostles has been preached to us. And we have a similar message, and that is that everything's not okay, that humans have turned away from God, and we need to turn back to God. And we need to turn back to God. And we need to be serious about this in the same way that the Ninevites were serious, in the way that they fasted and the way that they put off all their fashion and just said, let's just wear simple clothes. until we get this sorted out. And so we see what they do here. Let me look. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. And he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king of nobles, do not let any man or beast or herd of the flock taste anything, and do not let them drink, but let the beast be covered with sackcloth. Let every one of them urgently call on God and give up their evil ways and their violence. So, what does he do? The king and all the people, they hear the word of God. That's the first thing they do. Well, I want to encourage you to be hearing the word of God and to make hearing the word of God part of your Christian life. You know, living as a Christian is not difficult. It's not difficult. And I'm going to give you four simple things that you can take away today for how you can start living as a Christian. The first one is to be like the Ninevites. Hear the word of God. Hear it. Now, the easiest way for you to hear it is that during the week, set aside a little bit of time, doesn't have to be a huge amount, to read some of the Bible. Now, I do that by going Monday to Friday, and I read two chapters a day, Monday to Friday. On the weekend, I have Saturday morning, I have off. I like to go out and go swimming and everything early in the morning. And then on Sunday, I'm at church, so I'm hearing the Bible there. But Monday to Friday, I read two chapters. Now, my daughter, Rebecca, she listens to the St. Clements podcast where they have Bible reading. And I know that she does that all the time, and the other children in my family do that as well. So your church has really good things to help you in your Bible reading. So find a way that's going to work for you where you can be reading most days of the week some of the Bible and just work your way through it. This also happens, of course, at church. Make sure you pay attention at church. When your parents are maybe reading the Bible with you after dinner, make sure you help and pay attention and maybe ask some questions. And at school, if you go to a Christian school and they're reading the Bible there, don't muck up, but actually say, oh no, I'm going to listen here and maybe try to think about some helpful questions I could ask. Now, the second thing, so that's the first thing as a Christian, to live the Christian life, you've got to hear the word of God. So make some way of doing that in your life. The second way is to be like the Ninevites again, and that is admit that you've done the wrong thing. Admit that you've done it. Now, very often we do this in our prayers, and I'll talk about prayers next, but it's to say to God and maybe to other people, I've done the wrong thing. I shouldn't have done that. Okay, and to ask for forgiveness. So that's the second thing we do. The third thing is to pray. Oh, now I left them back here. I bought everything else except those. I've got these little cards. So this is how I pray 5 days a week. I've got these little cards and I'll bring them in for tomorrow. And on one card it says Monday at the top. The next one it says Tuesday. The next one it says Wednesday. The next one it says Thursday. What do you think the last one says? Friday. Wait, can't fool you guys. You're sharp. Now, each of these cards is for a different day of the week, and I write on each card different people I want to pray for on those days. And so Monday, I pray for Jordan. Tuesday, Bethany's not here. Friday, but Rebecca gets Friday because she's number five. And so I pray for each of my children. My wife gets that first day of the week. So I pray for different people and different things on different dates. Now, you can just get a little cards and just make that, and that can be a very simple way to get you to start praying. Okay? So if you're not sure how to start to regularly pray, then ask your mum or dad or ask someone at school, and they can teach you how to do that, because you need to learn how to do that. Okay? So you need to hear the word of God, confess your sins, pray to God, and then the last thing is that you need to start living God's way. Living God's way. Now, living God's way means we stop doing some things and start doing new things. So, we've got to stop lying. We've got to stop lying to our parents, stop lying to other people. Lying's not the Christian way. We've got to if you shout at your parents and you get angry at them and you shout at them and you slam the door, that's not the Christian way. That's not respecting and honoring your parents. Okay? It's not respecting and honoring your parents. If you gossip, you're talking about this girl, talking about that girl, and look at this, look what they do, and then just having a little gossip together, that's not the Christian way. Christian way is not gossiping. Right? Instead, we're meant to say encouraging things about people and encourage them. We can make jokes and everything else, but not put people down. Not people down. Make jokes about yourself or make jokes about me. But don't go making jokes about, in a way to put people down or bullying people or anything like that. That's not the Christian way. Where you're to obey your teachers and to obey your parents. This is the Christian way. Now, what about the positive? Because there's a lot of positive things we could do. Well, I would like you to start talking to your parents more. Talk to your parents more. Now, there's a few things that you can do to talk to your parents. That is, around the dinner table, hopefully your family will sit together and have a meal together. Around the dinner table, talk. Talk to them. Ask how their day was. You might say, I don't know what to say at dinner. You could say to mum and dad, how was your day? What happened? Okay. Now, if they ask you, how was your day? What happened? You could just go, nothing, right? Because I remember one of my sons, I'd say, not this one, I'd say, what happened? He goes, nothing. And you're going, I'm trying to get some conversation happening here. And so if you're not sure what to say, you can talk about what subjects you had or what games you played during lunchtime, right? But maybe something you made at school. So just try to think about, how can I talk to my parents here? A good thing you can do is ask your parents for advice. Because what tends to happen these days is, if you want to find something out, what do? Google it. Right? You want to find something out, you Google it. You talk to your phone or your parents' phone. I'm not sure with how old, you may not all have access to the internet. I'm not sure what your different parents say. But for many of us, we would Google things. And I'm saying, before you Google, ask your mum and dad. Before you Google, ask your parents. And ask for their advice on these things and what they know. And then you could look it up together. And that's a good way of talking to them and honouring them, rather than just saying, they've got nothing to tell me. My parents got nothing to say to me. I'm just going to Google it. I don't know them. The last thing I want to say is, I want you to be proactive and ask your mum and dad how you can help around the house. Because your mum and dad might be doing everything for you. I remember my mum used to do everything for me. She'd make my bed. She'd make my lunch. She'd do everything. And in one sense, she did that because she loved me, and that was good. But also, it wasn't that helpful, because it never made me think that I could do something. And so your parents actually do want you to help around the house. Maybe walk the dog. Maybe clean up the dog poop. Whatever it might be. Ask your mum and dad and say, how can I help today? Is there anything that we could do? So you've all had dinner, and then you're starting to clean up. Now, what you could just do is just say, I'm running off to my room to play my computer games, right? So instead of saying, I've eaten dinner, I'm off to the bedroom now and I'm going to close the door and I'm going to play computer games, what you can now do is you can say, we're all one family. We're all one team. And let's all work together to finish cleaning up. And then after that, I'll go play my video games. Okay, after that, I'll go read my book, whatever it might be. And so ask your parents, what can I do? And just start looking around. So that's what we see the Ninevites doing. They hear the word of God, they confess, they pray and call out to God, and they start living a new way. And there's a way that we can do that as well as Christians. And then what we see is this, verse 10. When God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. That is, God gave them life. God saved them. God gave them life. And basically, that's just saying God approved of what they were doing. God said, that's the right way to work. And so for us as Christians, Jesus has given us a new way to live. A new way to live. And we're to walk in that path, just as the Ninevites saw a new way to live and walked in that path. Amen.